you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
What's up, everybody? You are watching slash listening to the Command Zone podcast. I'm one of your hosts today, Jimmy Wong.
And I'm Craig Blanchett, Mr. Infect.
Mr. Father Infect now.
That's right, Father Infect. That's
Daddy true. Infect. Yep. There are a lot of different ways to call that. this is a really exciting episode because we are previewing and revealing the full deck from Commander Legends Baldur's Gate. Party Time is the name of the pre-con. Today we are going to be going through all of the new cards in the deck, and there are 10 new cards in this deck to show off, and we're going to cover everyone's favorite topic, which is the reprint value.
Ooh.
Yeah, a lot of people are really excited for this set, but before we get into it, we got to shout out our sponsors. First up, channelfireball.com/command. This is the place that you want to go if you're going to buy some Magic cards, especially sealed products. The marketplace on Channel Fireball has incredible prices for sealed product, some of the best in the business. And we're talking about a pre-con today, and this is a pre-con that you may be interested in picking up. In fact, there may be many pre-cons that you're interested in picking up from Battle for Baldur's Gate. We're doing all the upgrade guides on our channel as well. So if you want to grab any of those, just go to channelfireball.com/command, check out their marketplace. You can also enter code command at checkout. That'll do the exact same thing. You can also pick up single. There's lots of great stuff you can grab. Best part is you're shopping from local game stores around the country. You're supporting a great, great place that needs it the most because it's been a tough few years for local game stores, and they've been the source for so much joy for me, I'm sure for you.
True.
As well, Craig.
Absolutely.
So when you shop from Channel Fireball, you are also helping out local game stores. So make sure you go to channelfireball.com/command to do all your Magic shopping. Next up, we got Ultra Pro. Ultra Pro is the product that myself, Josh, Craig, and many of us here at the office have been using for almost decades at this point. If not more, they've got all of the themed stuff for Baldur's Gate. They had all the theme stuff back when we did Adventures in the Forgotten Realms. Yep. They're going to have all the theme stuff for Warhammer. They're going to have all the great theme stuff in general, as well as just great products to protect your cards with, your playmats, your sleeves, your deck boxes. You can also go to shop.ultrapro.com/command.
Yeah, this
check
is
out
so
their
cool.
online store. Yeah, it's really
it's
cool,
like
right?
It's like ridiculous. I saw this the last time I was QC in an episode. That's awesome.
Yeah, and they have tons of stuff. Not only do they have tons of stuff from the new sets that are coming out, but they've also got lots of old product that maybe they didn't fully sell out of, and they'll do deals off often on those as well. And you can also just find stuff that you're like, wait, oh my gosh, I didn't realize they had X character on this playmat. I gotta get it. So if you go to shop.ultrapro.com/command, you can pick up all of that stuff. Pretty awesome. It's a blast. You want to do it. And of course, the last way to support the show is directly at patreon.com/command zone. We've got a bunch of new tiers. We just revamped it, including the chance to play with some of us on Spell Table. Craig, you just were able to do this the other day, right?
I just did that the other day, and it was awesome. Shout out to @Artificer from our Patreon.
Nice.
And our Discord. He used the Galea deck that I did the pre-con upgrade guide.
Yeah, really?
And he like did the pre-con upgrade guide and then killed me with Triumph of the Hordes. It was so epic. It was unbelievable.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was very, very cool. Come full circle, like the deck that I did the upgrade for, and then he beat me with it.
Yeah.
And he beat, and it was Atraxa that I was playing. So,
wow. You know. Yeah, you played a pretty powerful deck. Yeah.
Shout out.
So check it out, patreon.com/command zone. For certain tiers, you will get access to play Spell Table games with the staff here at the office, including Josh and myself at certain tiers. But everyone also gets access to the Discord where Craig can just go and chat with this person, as well as they can chat with us. You can ask us questions on there. Make sure you check it out, patreon.com/command zone. And we shout out one lucky patron every single episode. So this week's episode is dedicated to Heather Lipsius. Heather, you rock.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, let's get right into it. It's a party time. Baldur's Gate pre-con reveal. We are going to do in-depth analysis on these cards in a future episode for the set reviews and all that stuff. This video is here to show you what's inside the product and to reveal to you the contents of the deck. So we're not going to be going deep on evaluations of the new cards and all that. We'll be giving impressions, but not sort of like what this combos with. We're here to show you the deck and tell you what's inside, which is really exciting. So there are 10 new cards in this deck, including 3-ish new legendary creatures, And this is the pattern that we've seen across the pre-con so far, which is there's a main commander, and then there's a monocolored commander plus what's called a background. So backgrounds are cards that function similarly to the partner mechanic, except in this case, the backgrounds are legendary enchantments that live in your command zone, and they basically add an extra effect to commander creatures you control. So you can have a creature in there that says choose a background, and you can choose a background, and then you can cast both of them at your command zone, and they're going to affect your game. In this case, the backgrounds are specific to the colors of the deck, but there are tons of them out there, and of course, we'll be covering those in a future episode as well. So let's get right into it and just preview what the new legendaries are. Craig, do you want to read out this first one, the lead commander of the deck?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's Nalia de Arnis. She's a 1W for a 3/3 human rogue, and she says, you may look at the top card of your library at any time. You may cast a cleric, rogue, warrior, and wizard spells from the top of your library. At the beginning of combat on your turn, if you have a full party, which is one of each of those, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control, and those creatures gain death touch until end of turn.
All right. So Nalia herself is a rogue. So to have a full party, you just need a cleric, warrior, and wizard on the battlefield.
Oh, cool. Good point.
And then every single combat on your turn, you're going to get a full +1/+1 counter across the board on all your creatures, not just the ones that are in the party, and they all gain death touch.
It definitely seems like a token deck. She seems really good. 3/3 for three, you know, CMC, but I don't know. I'm failing to see the like wow factor here.
Well, it's the party mechanic. We haven't seen this since Adventure. No, since before then, actually. It wasn't in AFR. It was in another set, the party mechanic.
Right.
I forget it was like a Dominaria, maybe? Around that time. My memory's getting a little
I think
fuzzy.
It might have been Zendikar.
Oh, yes, that's right. It was Zendikar. Yeah, it was Zendikar. The return that we had most recently.
But which is cool because there's a lot of, you know, humans, rogues, warriors, and clerics out there now. Wizards, and hypothetically more, you know, because hypothetically they'd be putting more in the main set here, you know, since this is the Commander Precon.
Well, a lot of people were wondering where the party mechanic was in AFR,
right?
And it feels like a very D&D type mechanic.
Exactly.
So we get to see it returning in Battle for Baldur's Gate, which is exciting.
It is cool.
All right, so the next new card is Brakos, Party Leader. So this is 3 for a 2/4 legendary creature orc. And check it out, Brakos is also a cleric, rogue, warrior, and wizard. So if you have Brakos, he gets to count as one of the party members. So if you have both Nalia and Brakos out, then you've got a rogue. And then you can choose if Brakos counts as a cleric, warrior, or a wizard in that case to count towards the total party. So whenever Brakos attacks, defending player loses X life and you create X treasure tokens where X is the number of creatures in your party. And then it also says choose a background. And then we talked about this, but you can have a background as a second commander. So this is a 2/4 for 4. I like this ability a bit more than Nalia's, not going to lie.
Yeah, I think I missed the second line of text, or the first line of text, I should say, because I was like, an orc that's the party leader that does... He's an orc. He's not one of any of these party leaders.
Warrior or wizard.
But
turns out he's all of them.
He's all of them, which is cool. You know, the choose a background mechanic is incredible. I think it's going to be a little bit format warping.
It's going to make this card a bit better, I think, than Nalia, because it gets this additional thing that you can cast that will help you out. So I do like this, though. You're going to make a player lose life, and then you're actually going to create treasures. So this also is ramp on a mono black card, depending on who's in your party. So the background is called Folk Hero. It's 1W for a legendary enchantment background. And it says, commander creatures you own have, whenever you cast a spell that shares a creature type with this creature, draw a card. This ability triggers only once each turn. So the total cost for Brakos and Folk Hero is 6 mana, whereas Nalia is just 3 mana. But with Folk Hero, you get a card draw engine anytime you cast basically any of the party members. So anytime you cast a cleric, rogue, warrior, or a wizard, you get a draw card, and it happens once each turn. So Brakos now has, with this background, he has ramp and card draw. So pretty good.
Yeah, I definitely like Folk Hero a lot. I like it. I think I like it more than Brakos.
Just Folk Hero in general, and you want to find someone else to pair it with?
Yeah. Can you run 2 backgrounds?
I do not believe so. You only get one. Yeah,
right.
Per choose a background, not choose any many multiple backgrounds or whatever.
Yep. But the fact that these are also mythic, you know, implies their power level, hypothetically.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that both of these are mythic you know, shows that they could be very powerful, which I agree with. You know, it's either ramp, like you said, or card draw, and at relatively low CMCs. Like Folk Hero at 2 CMC is incredible.
Yeah, you should be able to play this with a lot of the potential commanders that say choose a background, and you get a build into that world, even if it's just one creature tribal. It works really well in this deck because you can have cleric, rogues, warriors, and wizards that all trigger it. And again, getting that card draw is really important.
Yep.
All right, so let's talk about some of the new cards. The first group of cards we've just categorized under Party Matters cards, because this is a party deck, so these cards care about parties.
Party!
Party! So, Craig, you want to read the first one? It is Harper Recruiter.
Harper Recruiter. So it's a 2 and a white for a 3/1 human warrior. It's got flying. Whenever Harper Recruiter attacks, look at the top 4 cards of your library. You may reveal a cleric card, a warrior card, and or a wizard card from among them, and put those cards into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. So it's selective card draw, which is great.
It's still card draw. It could potentially draw 4 cards.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah, so if you just happen to be able to use a card to put the cards on the top of your library and you swing with Harper Recruiter one time, you get to draw all 4 of those cards if it happens to be a rogue, cleric, warrior, and or a wizard. So you can't have 2 wizards, you can't have 2 rogues, but if you have 1 of each, you get to draw all 4 in your hand.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
That is. That's incredibly good.
Yeah. And it also is a warrior itself, so it fits inside the party lines.
It definitely goes in a party deck, but yeah, I don't know what else.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a changeling deck, something that has a lot of, this is definitely for the Party Matters cards. Yeah. Seasoned Dungeoneer is the next one. It's 3 and a white for a 3/4 creature human warrior. When Seasoned Dungeoneer enters the battlefield, you take the initiative. So the initiative is basically whenever you take the initiative and at the beginning of your upkeep, you venture into the Undercity, which is a new dungeon. And if you are already in one of the dungeons from Adventures in the Forgotten Realms, you just advance to the next room. If you're not, you enter the Undercity, which is the newest dungeon in this set, which is the only dungeon, by the way, in this set. And to count, the Undercity has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rooms to get to the very end of it. So when this creature enters the battlefield, you get to go into the Undercity at least. And the first one is search your library for a basic land card, put it into your hand, then shuffle. And then we'll show it on screen here, but it has a bunch of other options. Similar to sort of the other dungeons, you can, one of them has you scrying or putting +1/+1 counters on, goading a creature, creating treasure tokens, going, drawing a card. And the last one obviously is a bit more powerful, where you reveal the top 3 cards of your library and put a creature card from among them onto the battlefield with 3+1/+1 counters on it, and it gains hexproof. Then you shuffle. So Seasoned Dungeoneer, the other part of the text, outside of that, because the dungeon itself isn't that relevant, is whenever you attack, target attacking cleric, rogue, warrior, or wizard gains protection from creatures until end of turn, and it explores. So exploring is reveal the top card of your library. You put that card into your hand if it is a land. Otherwise, you put a +1/+1 counter on the creature that explores, and then they put that card back on top or into your graveyard. So this is actually pretty interesting here. This gives all of your creatures, when they attack you, you get to choose one of them, and it's whenever you attack, so you can have the Seasoned Engineer out, and you can swing with your Harper Recruiter or your commander, and you can give it protection from creatures, which basically means unblockable.
This just seems so, like, cool, very cool, but it just seems almost like, you know the game Plinko?
I do.
Where it's like, it just seems like there's so many different options here that it's tough to give a good read on this card, because
yes,
it's like,
there's a lot
there's so much that has to, well, under this situation, it does this, but under this situation, if you're already in a dungeon, then go to the next room. But if you're not, you enter the Undercity. And then if you have a full party, then this, like, I don't know. It seems like, yeah, you could have this, but you could also kind of have this.
Yeah. So at the bare minimum, you cast Seasoned Engineer for 4 mana. You're going to enter the Undercity if you're not in a dungeon already. And you're going to search for a basic land, put it into your hand, and shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
So 4 mana, draw a card kind of from your deck. And then you're going to keep taking the initiative at the beginning of your next upkeep. You're going to keep going through it. But it's going to be pretty slow unless you have other cards that venture you through the dungeon.
So if you have the initiative, let's say you play this and you have the initiative. And maybe I'm going off on something that we don't even know yet. But let's say you have the initiative.
Yeah, if you're already in the dungeon, you just venture one step
further. You just keep going even during your upkeep.
Whatever you're at, you just venture one step further.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I do like the exploring part. It is card advantage in a way. It's also a way to buff up creatures. It's kind of like a scry as well, because you can choose to put the card on into your graveyard or keep it on top if it's not a land.
Yeah, the explore is definitely an important part of this card. But it's also like, this card seems like it's going to be very confusing. Like, there's going to be
a lot of
searching the internet for this card, for sure.
I will say it goes really well with Barakos, because you can give it protection and then you get to create treasure tokens.
Totally.
Even if you don't have those creatures attacking, you still still going to make their treasures based on that. So that seems pretty nice
there. That is definitely good synergy.
All right, next up is a brand new board wipe. And would you think it, would you guess it, it is tied to the party. So why don't you read Stick Together?
So Stick Together is 3 white-white for a sorcery. It says each player chooses a party from among creatures they control, then sacrifices the rest.
Yep.
Just to clarify, that means cleric, rogue, warrior, or wizard.
Yep, and you get to choose up to one each. So let's say you have a full party, 4 creatures, you cast Stick Together. Everyone else looks around their board. They see if they have any of those warriors, clerics, rogues, or wizards. Probably wizard is going to be around there somewhere. Maybe a warrior.
If you and Josh are at the table, for sure.
Yeah, there would be a wizard. But everything else gets wiped out. So this could be a very one-sided board wipe.
Totally.
Seems really good, specifically in this deck.
Yes.
Other decks probably not going to be caring as much about this type of board wipe. But very good for this deck. And there's a chance that you keep 4 creatures, including your commander, and everyone else loses everything.
Yeah.
All right, next up we got Multi-Class Baldric. This is a new artifact equipment. It costs 1 mana. It says equipped creature has a lifelink if you control a cleric, death touch if you control a rogue, haste if you have a warrior, and flying if you have a wizard. And as long as you have a full party, prevent all damage that would be dealt to equipped creature, and it equips for 2. So with a full party, it's a 1 mana, equip 2. Prevent all damage done to equipped creature, and it also has lifelink, death touch, haste, and flying.
It's definitely given it all the right, you know, attributes, but
except for hexproof.
Except for hexproof, which thank goodness it doesn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, imagine if you had, you know, all
prevent
those,
all damage and yeah,
and exactly, hexproof. Yeah, this thing would be very hard to kill.
But it's, you know, it definitely gives you something to search, you know, a reason to try and put together a full party. It'll definitely depend on like how easy it is to get a full party together. But I do like the kind of Scion of Draco kind of aspect of this.
Right. It gives something based on if you have something.
It's other attributes. Yeah. I think that's very cool. And it's correctly costed, you know, 1 to get it out, 2 to equip, even if you only have 2 of the
seems
you know,
pretty cheap. To actually get out and equip.
Yeah,
and
totally.
In this deck, I mean, worst case scenario, it just is 1 mana 2, and you can choose 1 of the 4 maybe that it has. It's right. Either lifelink or death touch or haste or flying. But right. All of those are still pretty relevant for the most part. I like lifelink more and more these days in Commander.
Totally.
But the fact that it really rewards you for having all 4 party members out, and you get just this nutso creature, and you prevent all damage done to it. Again, it works really well with Nalia. It works really well with Barakos.
It also really ties into the whole D&D aspect of it, because like there are certain attributes you can give yourself in D&D, especially if you know, give yourself the right equipment, etc., that can kind of make you a god almost, which is basically what this is making you.
Yeah, you're leveling up because you got the full party with you.
Yep.
And the art's really funny too, because it's a guy wearing
great.
Everything from each of the things. All right, I want to read the next one. This is called Solemn Doom Guide.
So Solemn Doom Guide is 3 black-black for a 4/5 tiefling cleric with flying. Each creature in your graveyard that's a cleric, rogue, warrior, and or wizards has unearth 1 and a black. And unearth says, return this card from your graveyard to the battlefield. It gains haste. Exile it at the beginning of the next end step. If it would leave the battle, exile it instead of putting it anywhere else. Activate only as a sorcery. Ugh. So I mean, it's cool. Like, you're definitely going to play this in the party deck, right? Because everything now has Unearth for 1 and a black, which is great. 4/5 flyer for 3 black-black is really good. I love how they're embracing tieflings. Cool.
Yeah. The Unearth thing is nice. It feels like sort of like a bit of a finisher. You're going to get this out, and then you're going to pay 1 and a black 3 times to get your best creatures out. All of a sudden, you're bringing out any of the creatures we just mentioned, like the Harper Recruiter, or the Seasoned Engineer, or even Barakos, maybe even your Commander, you put it in there on purpose, and you get all those benefits as well to do so. So, seems pretty good. For this deck, again, Unearth is something that can really catch people out of nowhere, because they don't expect it to have such an impact, but all of these creatures have attack triggers or enter the battlefield triggers.
Yeah, this is definitely a good, like, mid to late game kind of, like you said, like a finisher or something like that.
Yeah, but and even just as a 5 mana 4/5 flyer, you're not unhappy with it.
Irrelevant. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so those are 8 of the cards that are just basically kind of like generic
Part A
matters cards. There are 2 cards that we just categorize under generic good stuff cards.
Yep.
And these ones are actually pretty interesting.
They're
so
quite good.
The first one is Black Market Connections, more than one connection out there. It's 2 in the black for an enchantment. At the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, choose 1 or more. So the first one is called Sell Contraband. Create a treasure token, you lose 1 life. The second choice is called Buy Information. Draw a card, you lose 2 life. And the third one is called Hire a Mercenary. Create a 3-2 colorless shapeshifter creature token with Changeling. You lose 3 life.
I love this.
Wow. So by itself, you play this on the turn you play it on, 2 in the black, first main phase. You go your pre-combat main... Oh, no, sorry. It's at the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, so it needs to come back to your turn, or unless you can get it out before your first main phase. But you play this, it gets back to your turn, and then for 3 life, you can create a treasure token and draw a card.
Yep, ramp and card draw for 3 life.
For 6 life, you get to do those two, and you get to make a 3-2 shapeshifter creature that counts as a party member because it's a changeling. So I often find that you can also just, by the way, draw a card and lose 2 life. You don't need to even do the other two. You can choose one or more. So I think this is great. This card, I think, is just really, really fantastic.
Absolutely. I mean, especially with the Changeling, because now it fills anyone in your party, which, you know, this card will definitely go in other decks as well. I feel like this is the most kind of overall good card in the set, because it's ramp card draw and then goes in certain any Changeling deck that runs black, basically.
Any tribal deck that runs black could definitely use it. Right. Any deck that is black might just want to play this over Phyrexian Arena. I think this is better than Phyrexian Arena in a lot of ways, because you also get to create treasure tokens, and sometimes you get to create a creature. Now, losing 6 life every turn to do this is a lot.
It's a bit.
Sylvan Library, you're losing like right up to 8 life if you keep the other 2 cards, but this one you're losing up to 6 life, but you do get a lot out of it. You're ramping yourself, you're drawing, and you're making a creature.
Well, just think of, like, you know, for 3 mana, it's nice enough to get out early, but for if you could at any point be like, for 3 life I could ramp and card draw.
Oh, I would totally.
Right. Like, and it's a treasure token, so it's like you have one of any color. It's not colorless.
Right.
Yeah, there's huge advantages to this card.
Yeah, so I like black market connections a lot. And the fact that, again, you can just choose one or more.
Yeah, it's cool that you can choose multiple.
You do have to choose at least one. So at the minimum, you're the sort of the cheapest, the least painful way is create a treasure and lose 1 life, which I think.
But you're selling contraband, so there's a little kind of fun aspect to it, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I do think this is better than Phyrexian Arena in a lot of ways. It's also easier to cast because it's not one black, it's 2 in the black. Yep. So I like this. It seems like this has the potential to be a staple in a lot of decks. All right, the last card here is also pretty good.
Very good.
It's a white card that's all about the sort of ketchup mechanic that we've seen. Not the ketchup you would put on a burger, but the ketchup in terms of getting back up
the new
speed.
White's new kind of mechanic almost. Yeah, so it's
new thing. Like red got impulsive draw, white gets this.
They've been doing a lot of really good white stuff. So this one's Deep Gnome Terramancer, 1 and a white for a 2/2 gnome wizard with flash. Very cool. Whenever one or more lands enters the battlefield under an opponent's control without being played, you can search your library for a plains card. Put it onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle, doing this only once each turn. This isn't even the catch-up mechanic.
No, it's
not,
true.
It's not even like if they have more lands.
You're right.
It's just
right.
If they play a fetch land, guess what? When they crack that fetch land, you could even flash this out in response so that this guy enters and then the fetch land enters or the fetch for enters and you get to search for a plains card.
Yeah.
So you could search for a dual land, a triome. This card is very cool.
Yeah, and it works with fetch lands. It works with anytime someone just does a rampant growth because that is not playing a land. The land is entering the battlefield without being played.
Yep.
And if you have this in your hand, in your opening hand, you play 2 lands, you just sit and wait, and you may be able to get up to 3 other lands if your opponents all are playing fetches, or they have, even like Evolving Wilds will still do it, right? You're going to get those lands on the battlefield because they're entering the battlefield without being played.
Yep, and they're making more ways to get, you know, typically higher CMC, but ways to get more lands into the battlefield.
Yeah.
So if any of your opponents are doing any of that, having this on the battlefield, and you can get it out in turn 1 or 2.
Yeah.
So you can just... Ramp up with them.
Yeah. Doing this only once each turn, but again, you're going to be hoping that you put your second land down, you pass turn, and Craig plays a fetch land.
Yeah.
Josh plays a Rampant Growth. This third person plays another fetch land, and you are able to, if they have to crack it that turn, you're going to get it, and they have to remove the Deep Gnome Terramancer for you not to get that effect, which I don't think people are going to be doing. They're just going to let you get those lands.
Yep.
Yeah, so... We saved the best for last there, but Black Market Connections and Deep Gnome Terramancer both seem like absolute staples of cards.
Yeah.
You're probably going to see a lot of them around. I'm really, really excited about both of them, and they enter into a really cool design space too, I think.
Absolutely.
All right. Coming up, we're going to talk about the most exciting part of the deck for a lot of you, which is the reprint value breakdown. There's always a bunch of cards in here to find out how much this deck is worth based on just the reprints alone. But before we get into it, let's hear a quick message from our mid-roll sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing to the weird to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
Do you follow automotive news? Or do you just like cars and want to see what the heck's going on? Well, then you might like Donut Media's new podcast, The Big Three. Hi, I'm James Pumphrey, and every week, me and my co-host slash two of my top five friends, Nolan Sykes and Joe Weber, unpack the latest and greatest in automotive news and trends on The Big Three. You'll also get a lot of laughs, hot takes, and personal insight on cars from the biggest car guys in automotive media. So, whether you're a hardcore enthusiast or just a person who goes, that's a good looking car, check out The Big Three, available wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch the full videos at Donut Podcasts on YouTube.
All right, we are back, and we are talking about party time.
Party,
I think we asked the editors in another episode to shine confetti down every time we said something. So anytime we say party,
Eric's and Rogues, woo!
Maybe we could have a little bit of like some lights going on too. All right, let's dive into the
stats.
So the stats of this deck, we're just going to get right into it. There are 7 sources of ramp. Which is a little low.
That is low.
I did another pre-con upgrade guide where they had 21 sources of ramp, which is a lot, maybe too much. But 7 is a bit low here, especially creature-based deck. You're trying to play a lot of cards.
I think it's because it's Orzhov too, so it kind of has to be... Like,
yeah, there's not artifact. Great options. They do have that Deep Gnome Terramancer though, Craig.
Yeah, I agree.
There are 15 sources of card draw, however, which is very good. Maybe that's sort of what they're balancing out. You're going to draw a lot of cards. You're always going to hit your land drops. 6 sources of targeted removal and 4 board wipes. So... Ooh. Those stats, I think, are a little unbalanced. I'd say lower the card draw, up the ramp a little bit. But overall, still a decent number of all of them. You're not going to be choked on mana or cards, it seems, when you play this deck typically. Now let's talk about the cards, about the party! Woo! So there are 19 Party Matters cards, which is a little bit low for a party deck. But I think it's because you have a lot of cards that are just creatures in the party as well, right?
Right.
So how many of those do we have, Greg?
So there's 13 rogues, 21 clerics, 17 warriors, and 18 wizards.
Okay.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. This is clearly a creature-based deck. There's a lot of creatures in here, and you want to be able to get the full party out. I also like that it's pretty well balanced between all four.
Yeah, totally. It's like clerics high, but that's you do want clerics to be high for the most part.
Yeah, so you got warriors, wizards, rogues, and clerics all around sort of that 15 to 20 range, which means that hopefully this means that on average when you're drawing cards out of your deck, you're going to hit them pretty evenly so that you can make sure you have the full party.
Right.
And then there is 9 spells in here that care about protection, protecting your party, which makes sense. Again, this is a creature-heavy deck.
Yeah, you absolutely need that protection to make sure that you get all the benefits because you're basically building, it's not quite Voltron, but you're kind of like building towards this Voltron-y type of...
Yeah, you're going for mass. You're going a little wide, but not really because each of them are creatures. You're not really making a bunch of tokens.
Right.
And then there are 6 sources of recursion. So in case things go haywire, you're able to get some stuff back.
That's kind of cool. Also, another one of White's new kind of staple mechanics is bringing stuff back from the graveyard, which is cool.
Yep.
Because maybe you have a, like you're saying, like a rogue that you need to complete your party in your graveyard. Boom, recur it back. That's cool.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, now we're going to talk about the financial value. And remember, as always, the prices that we're talking about are taken prior to the deck being revealed, which is today, by the way, because that obviously changes prices, especially on reprints. So this is only factoring in the reprint value because we don't actually know what the new cards are going to be worth on the market. And check it out. The reprint value for this deck is $119.20.
That's really high.
Yeah, that's actually really high because we're going to go back and take
a look. Is that the highest ever?
I believe it is the highest value of the Commander Legends precons so far. We're not sure if this is the highest value ever.
Wow.
So if we go back and we look at previous Commander precon releases, we can get some context as to just how high this is.
Okay.
So Commander 2019, the average reprint value we calculated was about $80.
Yeah, that one was rough.
Goes up to $96 for Commander 2020 Ikoria.
Yep.
Back down to $88 for Strixhaven, and then all the way up to $115 for Forgotten Realms. So it was pretty high there.
Okay.
And then the Midnight Hunt precons also were pretty high, around $103. So that's actually really good still. There's a lot of great cards in here, and we actually could go through a ton of them, but we can't go over every card. And the full deck list, if you want to see it, is going to be linked in the show notes in the show description below each episode, so you can actually take a full look yourself and see the deck in all its glory.
I just want to say, quick aside too, like, you know, the Strixhaven decks, even though they were only $88, did have a lot of really cool commander specific cards in the commander that, you know, aren't really included in this reprint value because they're new.
Yeah, they're new cards,
and
we just talked about two incredibly good new cards, Deep Known Terramancer and Black Market Connection.
Exactly. And a lot of times those new cards are the drivers of these of these precons. And I feel like this one is going to have that lasting value because of those those two cards.
Yeah, I know some people might think, oh, party, that seems like a really niche strategy, I don't care about it. But I think there's a lot of value packed in here.
Yeah, totally.
So here are the cards that are worth $5 or more. Speaking about that sort of new mechanic that you were speaking of, Craig, Savin's Reclamation is at the very top here. Yeah, $10.50. This is great. You can flashback from your graveyard and you get to return a permanent with CMC 3 or less from a graveyard to the battlefield. So pretty good stuff.
Yeah, totally.
This next one I actually didn't realize was so high. I actually rarely see this card around.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because I think it's from the party, the five player kind of
right, the MTG party.
Exactly. Like five player thing that they have, but it's Calculating Lich. And it's $10.25.
Yeah, it's a creature of menace. It's 4BB. It just says whenever a creature attacks one of your opponents, that player loses 1 life. So it's not just your creatures, by the way. It's everyone's creatures. It seems like a really good way to sort of get a lot of damage through.
Totally.
Reminds me a little bit of Hellrider.
But also something you don't see very much of because of that. Like they're rare because you have to pull it out of that five player thing.
Yeah, exactly. You don't see very many of them, so there aren't many in circulation.
Right.
The next up, Skullclamp.
Yeah.
Wow, great card.
Incredible.
Just an absolute staple in so many token decks, and just a really strong card. 1 man to play, 1 man to equip. Whenever a equipped creature dies, draw 2 cards, and it gives them +1/-1. So sometimes it just kills the creature on equipment, you get to draw 2 cards instantly.
And that's what makes it so good, typically, is you just pay 1, draw 2. But that's one of those cards where if you don't have a Skullclamp, makes this deck even more worth buying.
Yeah.
Because you not only get the Skull Clamp, which is $10 if you buy it by itself, but you get all this other extra stuff too.
Yep. Next up is Grim Hireling. This card got a lot of hype after AFR when it first came out because it's a T-Fang
Rogue. Yeah, I'm surprised this is so much at this point. Holy crud.
Well, again, it's a single card that came out in a set that maybe just didn't see as many cards printed for it. So it's whenever one more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, create two treasure tokens.
Yeah.
So great way to just, in token decks especially, swinging with a bunch of low guys, you get a bunch of treasures as a result.
Totally.
Two, whenever one more creatures deals combat damage. And sometimes you can just hit one player with this one thing, one flyer, and you get those two treasure tokens. That's really powerful stuff.
Yep. This next one I like a lot. Like, it really helps fill out the party. Mutavault.
Oh, that's right.
So, you know, you turn it into basically a changeling and
pay one mana, it's a land. Yeah.
Yep. One mana. Yep. And that, you know, if you're missing a party member, turn Mutavault into your missing party member, and all of a sudden you're swinging with extra benefits.
Yeah, and it doesn't take a place of another card in the deck because
totally.
It is a land, so that's $8.30 is where that was at. You also see this, obviously, in a lot of older constructed formats.
Yeah, totally. Yep.
This next one's really powerful. It's a cleric as well. It's Selfless Spirit.
Thank goodness they reprinted this. This was a really good card.
Yeah, it's one in the way for 2/1 flying, and you can sack it to give your creatures indestructible until end of turn. So when we talked about the protection stat from earlier, this is a card that falls right in line with it.
Absolutely.
This was at $8 because there are spirit decks in a lot
makes
of other
sense.
Formats.
Yeah.
It's a 2-mana 2/1 flyer, so it just has a lot of good stats padded onto it already.
Any recursion deck, like this in a Caridor deck, this mm-hmm. in a, because you can just bring it back, sack it again.
Yeah.
It's not like you have to exile it once it hits the graveyard. So yeah.
Yeah, really
for,
good.
For 2-mana, quite good.
Yeah, and then along that same lines of protection, we have Mother of Runes.
Mother of Runes.
Yep. Just another really cheap spell to get out. It is also a cleric. Remember when earlier when you said it's good to have more clerics? Well, oh, this is why the yep. clerics help save the darn party.
They do.
Yeah, very important in D&D as well, it turns out.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was thinking. Also, like Final Fantasy.
Oh,
clerics,
yeah.
Clerics are always worth having around.
You need to have a good cleric around, yeah.
Exactly.
And I used to play a healer as well when I played MMOs, so I do enjoy having a cleric around.
Yeah.
So that was at $5. So all those cards are bangers. I think
yeah.
they're all really, really strong stuff. Now let's talk about some of the cards that are worth $2 or more. And so the first one up is Vault of the Archangel. It's a Orzhov land. Again, doesn't take the place of another card in the deck. It gives your creatures Death Touch and Lifelink until end of turn for 4 mana, 2 white and a black. Pretty good stuff.
It's really, really good. One of those cards that kind of got forgotten for a long time until recently they reprinted it a couple times.
Yeah, and that's sitting about... Yeah, there was a Secret Lair, right? That had recently. Yeah,
yep,
so that's
yep.
sitting about $4.50.
Yep.
And then the next land is a new one. I actually like this Eldraine land quite a bit.
Yeah, Castle Lochthwain. This extra card draw, you know, comes in untapped, I believe, if you have... Yep, if you control a swamp.
Yep.
So taps for a black, and then 1 black-black and tap it, draw a card. Then you lose life equal to the number of cards in your hand.
Yeah.
So it's a cool kind of conditional card draw.
Sometimes you just need lands like this, especially because it taps for black already. You're not taking away from a swamp.
Yep.
Later in the game, you are totally happy to sink some extra mana into this on someone's end step, draw a card, lose 2-3 life, whatever.
Absolutely,
it is.
Absolutely, yeah.
But you just need that extra card, and that could make the whole difference, and you're happy
yeah,
to pay
or
the
sometimes
for
you don't have a card in your hand, so this gets you one, and you just lose 1 life. So it's basically you know, Underworld Connections or what do you call it?
Yeah, it does cost a little bit because you have to tap the land too, so it's technically
yeah,
like 4 mana.
Yeah.
But again, towards the end of a game, you have a lot of extra mana lying around. This might be the exact thing you need.
Exactly.
Now it's sitting about $4.25. Same with his next card, 8.5 tails. It's a cleric and it protects your creatures.
Man, I remember reading this card back in the day. This was one of my favorites when I first started playing Commander.
Yeah,
so
Champions, I think, of Kamigawa, or one of the Kamigawas.
Yep. So 8.5 tails, white for a 2/2 fox cleric. 1 and a white, target permanent you control gains protection from white until end of turn. So it's target permanent, which is pretty good.
Oh, that's right. You can target the land, you can
right.
target enchantment.
Anything. And then for 1 (:), target spell or permanent becomes white until end of turn. Target spell or permanent. So you can basically give your stuff protection from anything. All
right.
of your permanents, if you have enough white or colorless mana, you just give it protection.
Yeah, you only need 3 mana. Someone goes to Cyclonic Rift, just your thing. You could turn that spell white and then turn the thing that they're trying to Cyclonic Rift to have protection from white until end of turn. The spell fizzles, just
yep.
like that. It's really flexible. If the spell is already white, like a Swords of Plowshares, then all you have to do is pay 1 and a white with 8.5 tails.
Yep.
Yep. And that was at $4.25 too. Again, just really efficient, really powerful.
Totally.
This next one I love. It's from Kaldheim. It's Maskwood Nexus. It's
yeah.
the perfect card for this kind of deck. 4 mana for an artifact. Creatures you control are every creature type. The same is true for creature spells you control and creature cards you own that aren't on the battlefield. And then you can pay 3 and tap it, and you make a 2/2 blue shapeshifter creature token with Changeling. It's funny because it makes a blue creature in the white and black deck, but more importantly, it's a shapeshifter with Changeling, so it counts as all the party members.
So does that one creature, basically, if you have a Changeling, does that mean you have a full party?
Nope. It counts as one of the four.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so you still have to have 3 other creatures. They could be 3 shapeshifter Changelings or 3 of the other party members, and the Changeling fills in that last slot.
Yep. I'm sure there's certain wordings on certain cards that mean different things, but that makes sense.
Yep. And then next up, you got, Mask with Nexus, again, about $4.20. And the exact same for the next card, which is War Room.
Great draw card for a land.
Yeah, it's another land. So we've seen 3 lands here that are all really powerful and all great reprints. You can pay 3 and tap it to pay life equal to the number of colors in your commander's color identity draw card. So it could be one life if you're playing the mono black commander with the background, because your color's commander, the commander color identity is just one color.
Yep.
Which is kind of cool.
Or 2, but it's...
Or 2, yeah, even 2 is fine.
But it's cool because it's also from the last commander set, so it's almost like a continuing commander card. Also, the art is so cool. It just reminds me of Game of Thrones.
It reminds me of Game Nights, because we sort of have similar chairs like that.
Yeah, we do have the chairs.
It'd be cool to play in the war room like that.
That would be cool.
But yeah, Game of Thrones is a great comparison. And then Jezzal Goldmane. This is a cat warrior. It's kind of a win condition. It gives your creatures +X/+X, where X is the number of attacking creatures for 5 mana. So good stuff there.
He also made a debut in a commander set back in the day. And
oh, really? Good.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen him.
Been a while. Yep. Thanks for coming, Jezzal.
Yeah.
This next one is also very important.
These talismans. Talisman of Hierarchy, $2.90. All those talismans are good. You know, pay one life to get one of the colors that you're looking for.
Yep.
And can tap for a colorless no matter what. So it's not like the Signets where it's like, let's say you only have 2 mana.
Color.
Exactly. Yeah. I think we've all been there a few times where it's like you have a Signet, but then you want to use
I definitely have.
Yep.
I like Talisman a lot. Just mana ramp as well on 2. And there's a chance that you could play the Talisman, then maybe your Skull Clamp. Because you have that extra mana.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, there you go. And then the last card we'll mention over $2 is Order of White Clay.
Never heard.
Guess what? It's a cleric.
It's Kithkin.
Kithkin. 1 white for a 1/4. You pay 1 white and then you untap it, and you can return target creature card with CMC 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so you can untap it, grab a lot of creatures we've already seen are 3 CMC or less. So again, this is sort of under that recursion topic that we were talking about earlier in the stats. So overall, the deck contents, 10 new cards, 70 reprints, and 20 basic lands, and a lot of really powerful stuff in here. So what do you think overall, Craig?
I like it. You know, I think as a deck, they've been making the precons a lot better recently. Mm-hmm. You know, there have been
last
a few
couple
times.
Of years have been great,
yeah. Yeah, recently where I just play against a precon and I will lose playing one of my tuned decks. And that is saying a lot, you know, for their... how they're putting these things together. So I'm sure it will perform very well together, but there does seem to be a bit of a Rube Goldberg type of effect with this whole have a full party. Do you have this? Yeah. Do you have a cleric? Do you have this? You know, that I think would be a bit frustrating at times, but the payoff would give you that kind of like in-game sub-game, you know? So it's like, even if you don't win, you kind of might win a little bit by just completing
by getting the party
and all that
stuff.
By completing some sort of aspect of this. So I think it's got a lot of areas as far as a deck by itself. I think the pieces of this deck are really what make this thing sing. There's a few cards in here that I would take out and put in other decks, you know, if I didn't have them already, or, you know, the new
cards. There are
cards
in here I would buy the precon just to get.
Yeah, totally.
And I really like that Mask with Nexus is in here. The reprint value is obviously really high. And not to mention, who knows what those cards that we talked about, Black Market Connections and the Deep Gnome Terramancer.
Yeah, totally.
So those could be real highlights, and you may see those be really in demand. So this seems like a great precon all around. I would also recommend this kind of precon to a newer player.
Yeah.
Because it's a fun thing, right? You're trying to build a party, you have a thematic element to it as well, and all your creatures are buffing each other up, doing a lot of stuff. Not to mention, I think if I was to play this deck, I would probably do Barakos and Folk Hero as the commander over Nalia, just because you get that ramp and card draw.
I don't know if you can play a background that doesn't match your commander's color identity. I don't know if it
you can choose a background, any background.
So it helps expand the color identity.
Yeah. So that's what the precons have been so far, is that the commander is two colors, and then the commander that has a background is one of the two colors, and the background is the other color.
Interesting. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's
cool,
similar
cool.
like in the precons of the past, where you would have another card in there that matched the color identity, that if you wanted to switch that one out, you could do that one instead.
Oh my god. So this makes it even more format warping, because now you can add a color to a deck.
Yeah, but it's only on the cards that say choose a background.
Oh, okay. So you can't. Oh,
you can't just add a background to anything. It's similar to like it's saying partner with.
Gotcha. So you can't choose a background forever. A background to another commander.
Only if it says choose a background on the commander. Yeah. Otherwise, yes, it would be very format warping.
I'm already confused, but I'm looking forward to figuring it out.
I was wondering if you knew exactly how it worked when we started talking about this deck. Now I know you do know how it works.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's how it works. Very interesting indeed. To the listeners, you know, let us know, are you excited about this deck? Do you think any of these new cards, especially the Deep Known Terramancer and the Black Market Connections, are they going to be a perfect fit in any of your existing decks? Because I think there's a lot of possibilities there. Totally. So please let us know in the comments. It's always great to see everyone's discussions as well. And if you're going to pick up this deck or any of the cards we talked about today singularly, or just the entire deck itself, which I would recommend, ChannelFireball.com/command is the place to go. You can buy sealed product there. They have great prices on their marketplace. Not to mention you're shopping from local game stores that definitely could use your business. And they're going to strive to give you the best quality and customer service possible, because that's what stores are there to do, to provide the gaming experience for players new and old alike. So check that out, ChannelFireball.com/command, or you can just enter promo code command at checkout. And again, when you get your cards and you want to go the full distance with your Baldur's Gate theming, go to Ultra Pro. Shop.ultrapro.com/command is the online store you can use with our affiliate code. You can find all the new Baldur's Gate stuff there as soon as it comes up. The playmats, the deck boxes, the sleeves, you name it. Or you can just go get some Ultra Pro stuff at your local game store as well. If you're going back there to play for their Friday Night Magic or their Commander Nights, whatever it is, check it out. Get a brand new playmat. I love collecting them. I have so many playmats now, and I love just whipping out the one that I think matches my deck when I play. That's a lot of fun.
And this set, you need some D20s, so you may want to grab an actual D20.
Yeah, and they have full D20 dice sets with the D4, D8, D10s, and 12s. Yeah, so maybe you're going to play some actual D&D after you play some actual Magic. Shop.ultrapro.com/command. All right, moving on to the end set. We talked about something cool outside the world of Magic. Craig, you watched a movie recently. What was it?
Yeah, I watched Encanto recently. I went over to my sister's house, and she's got 4-year-olds, and they were watching it.
For the 20th time.
Yeah, for the 20th time, exactly. And my sister was like, she knows that I like Disney movies, and she was like, have you seen this yet? And I was like, no, not yet. And it, like, I've got to say, with the marketing, it didn't really grab me. You know, I wasn't like, oh, I've got to see this movie.
I didn't see that much marketing for it, actually.
Me neither.
I don't remember seeing many commercials for it, yeah.
And so I wasn't really like, you know, I didn't have it on my list of things to watch. And, you know, sure enough, with most Disney movies, by like 5 minutes in, I'm like,
Tell me more.
And I'm like, who's this character? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it starts out fun. It's all Lin-Manuel Miranda. Mm-hmm. So it's like the songs are on point.
It's classic Lin-Manuel Miranda. There's rap in the song.
Exactly.
A little bit of hip hop. There's a lot of great singing.
There's this one song that they have about pressure.
That's so good,
they just did an incredible job with, and I like the story. It's a good family story. I think it has a good, you know,
overall message,
which is good. And you know, it causes you to question things, like, you know, I think it was overall a very well put together, film.
Yeah.
And yeah,
I liked it. And as always, we don't talk about Bruno. So if you want to check it out, I believe you can stream it on Disney Plus. It's a really fun movie, though. I liked it quite a bit myself. Both my wife and I enjoyed it a lot.
One of the main things that I liked about it is, like, you know, animation over the years has gotten better and better and better.
Right.
And the small, like, little facial expressions that they do, like when she's going up to, you know, before that song, and she's asking her sister, and you see the kind of donkeys make these facial expressions, like,
background characters.
Yeah, and it's like, it's so good that it adds so much to the movie.
Yeah,
that, you know, just these small little things that they've mastered, kind of this little digital
animators definitely pour their heart and soul into these types of movies, and you can really watch all of that spirit and heart bleeding out of Encanto at every little scene there. So it's a really fun movie, and if you like musicals, of course it's great for that. I've seen tons of people recreating the songs and stuff on TikTok and YouTube, so you know it's a good sign when Lin-Manuel Miranda is behind the wheel there. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much, Craig, for joining us on this cool deck reveal for party time.
Yeah,
drop
excellent.
The confetti. Woo-hoo. And for the cleanup set, big thanks to our amazing team here at the Command Zone. We've got Arthur Meadowcroft, Sean Aguilos, Damon Lenz, Lady Danger, Manson Lung, Craig Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Josh Murphy, Jake Bosch, Patrick Nan, Jordan Bridges, Sam Waller, Grav Goliath, Jamie Block, Evan Limburger, and Mitch Trafford. And of course, Josh Lee Kwai, who could not be here today, but he will be soon enough. Big thanks as well for Truck Ty, who always compiles the stats and the numbers for these episodes. There's a lot of information to parse through, and it's really awesome that we have the help, as well as getting the cards on a computer in front of us so that we can read them without any interruptions. We used to have to go through and screenshot all the cards on our phones, and it would take, you know, it would add an additional hour sometimes to the set reviews. So having a little bit of extra help there is really awesome. So
Truck,
big thanks, Truck.
Man.
Yeah. And big shout out, as always, to Jeffrey Palmer. He did our Living Card animations that start the show on YouTube and sometimes behind us here on set. You can find them online at Living Cards MTG. All right, everyone, go forth and party. We hope to see you out there on the battlefield. Until next time, peace out.
For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.